ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तस्मात्
Can that be turned a little? This little.
Karmasu Barhisman Agyanad Artha Kashishu Martha Dristim Krita Srotra Sparshishva Asprishta Vastushu Tasmat Karma Subarhishman Agyanad Arthakashishu Martha Dristim Krita Srotra Sparshishvasprishtavastasu Tasmat karma subarhishman Agyanad artakashishu Marta dristim kritasrotra Sparshishvasprishtavastusu Tasmat karmasuk barhishman Agyanad arthakashishu Marta dristim krita srotra Sparshishvasprishtavastusu
Smart karma.
Tasmat.
Therefore.
Karmasu.
In
fruitive activities.
Barhisman.
O King Prachini Barhishat. Agyanat. Out of ignorance. Arthakatishu.
In the glittering fruit of result.
Ma.
Never.
Artha Dristim.
Considering to be the aim of life.
Krita.
Do.
Srotra Sparsprisha.
Pleasing to the ear.
Asprishta.
Without touching.
Vastusu.
Real interest.
My dear King Barhishman, you should never out of ignorance take to the Vedic rituals or to fruitive activity, which may be pleasing to hear about, or which may appear to be the goal of self-interest. You should never take these to be the ultimate goal of life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadantyat vipishchita vedavara ratha partha nanyad astiti badinaha. Karmatmana swargapara janma karma pala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishwaraya gatim prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth power, and so on. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Generally, people are very much attracted to the fruitive activity sanctioned in the Vedic rituals. One may be very much attracted to becoming elevated to heavenly planets by performing great sacrifices, like those of King Barhishman. Shinarda Muni wanted to stop King Barhishman from engaging in such fruitive activities. Therefore, he is now directly telling him, Don't be interested in such temporary benefits. In modern civilization, people are very much interested in exploiting the resources of material nature through the methods of science. Indeed, this is considered advancement. This is not actually advancement, however, but is simply pleasing to hear. Although we are advancing according to such concocted methods, we are forgetting our real purpose. Bhakti Vinod Thakur therefore says, Jadavidya Yathamayar Vaibhav Smarana Bhajani Badha. Materialistic studies are the glare of Maya only, for they are an obstacle to spiritual progress. The temporary comforts of life experienced either on this planet or on other planets are all to be taken as illusory because they do not touch the real purpose of life. The real purpose of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. Ignorance of the real purpose of life, people take to either gross materialistic activities or ritualistic activities. King Barhishman is herein requested not to be attached to such activities. In the Vedas, it is stated that the performance of sacrifice is the actual purpose of life. A section of the Indian population known as the Arya Samajas lay too much stress on this sacrificial portion of the Vedas. This verse indicates, however, that such sacrifices are to be taken as illusory. Actually, the aim of human life should be God-realization or Krishna consciousness. The Vedic performances are, of course, very glittering and pleasing to hear about, but they do not serve the real purpose of life. Om Akyantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Vipasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I'm very grateful to be amongst all of you once again in New Dwarka. Thank you, Swavas Prabhu, for inviting me and giving me this undeserved opportunity to serve all of the devotees. Amala Bhakti Prabhu Dandavar Hare Krishna. We are reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinibarhi. Text 47.
In this story, we find a very powerful king who was also extremely religious in the sense that he spent much of his time performing the prescribed rituals and rites. But Narada Muni who was a great self-realized soul, is encouraging him to go deeper. Srila Prabhupada writes that the Supreme Lord does not accept what you offer, but he accepts the intent, the purpose in which it is offered. Rituals in all great spiritual paths are there, and they are very important. They help to regulate our lives, to put aside very specific, concentrated time for our spiritual development. And it is like a vehicle to carry our consciousness closer to God or to Krishna. But the tendency is we become so immersed, so much focused on the vehicle, we forget who's in the vehicle and where we're supposed to go. The purpose of life is to purify the consciousness and awaken the dormant love of God that is within us. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshate ahoita ki aprati hatha yagatma suprasidati. The supreme dharma, supreme religion, supreme occupation is that which awakens the inner propensity to love God from the heart. And whatever we do, even within our rituals, even within our prayers, if it does not ultimately awaken a taste to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, then srameva hi kevalam. It's considered a waste of time. So Narada Muni is not just telling King Prachinibarhi to give up his ritualistic activities. He's telling him to understand what is the purpose behind it. Krishna makes it very clear in the Gita. Sarvasya cha ham ridisha nivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha vidaishta sarvera ham eva vejo vidanta krit veda vedeva cha. And I am seated in the heart of every living being. I am the giver of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness according to one's desire. It is me who has revealed the Vedas or the scriptures. And by all the Vedas, I am to be known. That is the purpose, to please Krishna. And there are many examples that have been given of those who are very, very expert at Vedic rituals, but have missed the point. And in contrast, people who don't know any of the Vedic rituals, but who attain perfection simply because of their sincerity, their willingness to please the Lord. Sometimes our younger generation, we find they really have a propensity to reject the rituals of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes even rejecting the external forms of sadhana of Krishna consciousness. Because they have seen people who follow these mechanically, very expertly, but do not exhibit good character. Srila Prabhupada in one conversation with a PhD candidate who was interviewing him was very, very forceful. He said, philosophy has little or no value without good character. The purpose of everything we're doing is good character. Because without good character, nothing we do is really going to please Krishna. And we see throughout the ages the downfall of real faith in the great religious systems is when people see hypocrisy. People see the rituals, the teachings, oftentimes in a judgmental, condemning way, but without compassion, without morality, without love. And therefore, so many people turn away from organized religions. And many of them seek an alternative and come to the Hare Krishna movement. And if they find the same thing here, they'll look elsewhere. And others, children who are born within our society, they don't really want to look elsewhere because they believe in Krishna. They have some love and faith in Krishna. But if we want to give them faith in the process, which is so necessary for them, for us, for everyone, then we have to show them that people who follow the process are what they expect us to be. That we have good character. That we're really trying to exhibit the qualities of a Vaishnava. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains a Vaishnava is a very, very special thing. It's not just something that you are when you put on a certain set of robes or when you join a particular club. Vaishnav, very, very high platform. A real Vaishnav, it's a higher platform than attaining liberation. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that the word Das, servant of Krishna, servant of the Lord, it's the highest elevation to be the servant of the Lord. It's not an easy thing. We get a name, Krishna Das, or Radhanath Das, or whatever it may be, by the mercy of Guru. But just getting the name is not enough. We have to live by the spirit of that name if we want to actually make spiritual advancement. The advancement doesn't come by getting the name. It's by living according to the spirit of the name. The spiritual master, when he gives you a name, he's giving you a life mission. You are the servant of God. So Vrindavan Das Thakur says, this name Das, this title that is given in your name, understand what it means and how unqualified we really are. To be a Das of God, of the Lord, is higher than the yogis who have attained all 8 mystic cities. It's a higher position than the jnanis who have actually transcended the modes of material nature and attained Brahman realization. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was instructing Sanatana Goswami, this is how he began his teachings. He expanded those teachings to the highest realms of self-realization. But the foundation, where he began, Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas, that our constitutional nature is that we are eternally the servants of Krishna, of God. Where Gaudiya Vaishnavam begins is beyond the realization of the goal of practically any other spiritual system. But that doesn't mean we're there. If we think we're there, we're nowhere. It's our aspiration. Srila Prabhupada has given us this identity. He's put the seed of this identity in our hearts. Now we have to develop it by living according to these principles. If we chant 16 rounds nicely every day, which is the first and foremost important instruction we've been given, is to chant the holy names, the Yuga Dharma. But if we're offending others, if we're cruel to others, if we don't have a proper service attitude to others, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself explained, it's like the elephant who bathes in the river and then comes out and rolls all over the ground. It's a very slow process of getting clean. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared, just chant the holy names and do not criticize or offend others. I will take you back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But it's not easy. Rupa Goswami described, what is the nature of a pure devotee? Doesn't have a tendency to find fault in others. He's humble. Some people give in charity for tax write-offs or to get their name on a plaque. But what does Krishna accept? Krishna accepts your intent. Do you really care? Are you really trying to uplift people? It's not just what you give, it's how you give it, your motivation. So Srila Prabhupada has given so many lectures and given so many books, and all that's really required is that we chant Hare Krishna. But all of these lectures and all of these books are teaching us what motivation, what aspiration we should have to chant Hare Krishna. What lifestyle we should have to support our chanting Hare Krishna so that we'll have the maximum effects. King Puchini Barishat, he's performing so many rituals, but he has the wrong motivation. In fact, there are millions of people that chant the Maha Mantra, but they're doing it for material benefits or for liberation. It's actually because everybody knows who studies the Vedas that the Maha Mantra is the greatest of all mantras. Mayavadis impersonalists, many of them know this is the best of all mantras. It's there in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. Can't be denied. But Srila Prabhupada, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, teaches we are chanting this Maha Mantra to attain pure love of God, unmotivated, uninterrupted love for God. If your intent is liberation, then you can get liberation. If your intent is mystic powers, you can get mystic powers. If your intent is material benefits, you can get material benefits. But Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, puts aside all of these Kaitava dharmas, superficial purposes of religion, and goes right to the heart, focuses right on the essence. Unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful and well-known story in this regard. The Yajnik Brahmins. There is a place in Vrindavan, not far from Akrura Ghat, Yajnastali, where this wonderful pastime took place. Krishna, Balaram, and Gopas, the cowherd boys, were in the pasture grounds of Vrindavan near the forest, herding their cows. And all the boys became very hungry. And Krishna saw that they were hungry. And the boys were thinking that Krishna and Balaram are hungry. This is the reciprocation of love in Vrindavan. The gopas care nothing about themselves. They only care about Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram are only concerned with them. And because the boys know that Krishna and Balaram will do anything for them, they will pretend to be hungry just so that they can get food to give Krishna and Balaram. Just like you know the story of Talaban. There were sweet tal fruits. And the boys approached Krishna and Balaram and said, "Oh, these tal fruits are so sweet. We can smell them even from here." And they were a distance away. How much we long to eat those fruits. Oh, we're just so hungry for those fruits. Why don't we get the fruits? Because there's a big, big asura in the form of an ass that will not allow anyone in that forest. Even the insects and the birds will not go near it. Because Denukasura and his cohorts are so violent, so possessive about those fruits. But we want those fruits so bad. Please come and help us to get those fruits. Actually, the cowherd boys were not concerned with the fruits. They wanted Krishna and Balaram to eat the fruits. But they couldn't go and get them for them. They want to give the best to the Lord. But Krishna Balaram wouldn't go if they said, "We want you to eat them." That is reciprocation of love. So the boys were hungry. Krishna knew it. But the boys were thinking Krishna's hungry. So they expressed their will. Krishna said, actually, they just had killed a big asura that day, so it made a big appetite for everybody. Because Krishna would perform these pastimes. Every day he would usually do it before lunch. Very regulated. Some huge asura set by Kamsa would usually come just before lunch. And one reason was that Yashoda Mai, she would cook with so much love and devotion and pack the lunch for Krishna. And all the mothers of the gopas, they would put their heart, their soul, their feeling into that food. As we have said, Krishna doesn't accept what is offered. He accepts the feeling in which it's offered. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachitati. even a leaf of fruit, a water, or a flower offered with love and devotion. Krishna's really hungry for it. It's not a ritual. He's not hungry for the ritual you perform. He's hungry for the love in which it is offered. Krishna is crying for the milk of Yashoda. Now, in one sense, we could think, why would God cry? God has everything. He's the proprietor of everything that exists. Sarva Loka Maheshwara. Children cry. You know, it's considering embarrassing when grown men cry over being hungry. Krishna's God. He's the absolute truth. But when he's a little child, he's crying for the milk. Now, in one sense, he's doing it just to attract Yashoda Mai's love. But actually, he's so hungry to taste her love, he's actually crying for it. That's the ultimate greatness of God. How his reciprocation with his devotees is so deep and so real and so pure. Some people, they fear God. They worship God because of his power. Just by his glance, he can destroy universes. Just by his inhalation, everything's finished. How many times have you inhaled during this class? What happened? You don't know. Nobody else knows. Nobody else cares. But the expansion of Krishna, Mahavishnu, when he inhales, one inhalation, every one of his inhalations, destroys entire cosmic manifestation. The source of Mahavishnu, who we worship for his power, his majesty, Krishna. The devotee's heart falls in love with him to see him cry. Cry for the love of his devotee. How sweet, how beautiful, how supreme is his love. Krishna told the gopas, there are some Brahmins. They're very first-class Brahmins, performing Vedic rituals exactly according to the scripture. Elaborate as anything. Where every mantra has to be precise. Every ritualistic offering has to be exact. The timings, according to astrology, has to be just as the astrologers have told. Everything perfect. It's not easy to perform such a yajna. He said there's a particular time within their yajna where it's very, very auspicious to give food in charity. Go there at that time, at that moment, and ask them for charity. So the gopas were very happy. Krishna and Balaram were sending us. But Krishna told them, better you tell the Brahmins that that Balaram wants this food. Because Balaram is known as the son of Vasudev, who's a Kshatriya. And I'm known as the son of Nanda, who's a Vaishya. So because I'm of a lower caste, and these people are very caste conscious, they may be more inclined to give it to Balaram. So the children went. And the Brahmins were performing their yajnas. And the wives were assisting them in every way. It was very elaborate. And when that particular auspicious moment came, the children, Krishna and Balaram are very hungry. And now it is a very good time for all of you to give some donation of food. So please give to us. Those Brahmins didn't even look at the children. They utterly ignored them. That's really an insult. If you ask for something and somebody gives you what you want, That's very nice. If you ask for something and somebody chastises you, that at least they recognize that you're there. But to completely ignore you, that's really painful. Yes? Sometimes you come before the temple president or some leading devotee, and if he chastises you, you know he cares. If he praises you, you know he's happy. But if he won't even look at you, won't even consider that you're existing, that's really a humiliating, humbling experience. So that's what they did. These little dirty little boys playing with cows all day. We have big, big things that we're doing. We don't have time for them. We are Brahmins. We are learned scholars. To divert from the original story, I'm going to go into another story with your permission. As far as great scholarship. In South India, there is a place called Sri Rangam. And there, which is the capital of the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya, there was a little boy. His name was Parasarabhatya. And he was very dear to all the devotees. Very small child, maybe 4 or 5 years old. And coming into the town was the Digvijay scholar, the greatest scholar on earth, whose false ego was even bigger than his scholarship, which is usually what happens. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about another Digvijay, Keshava Kashmiri, when he came to Navadvip with processions and elephants and bands playing for him wherever he went and people praising him, he would challenge everyone to debate. Nobody could stand before him. And Lord Chaitanya's little friend, his students on the bank of the Ganga were saying, "This man, Saraswati, lives on his tongue. Every time he opens his mouth, Goddess Saraswati, the goddess of learning, speaks through him. Nobody can defeat him. He knows everything about everyone and about all the scriptures. And he's undefeatable." And what was Lord Chaitanya's evaluation of this person? He said, "A person with good qualities is like a tree with many fruits." He said, "A person with no good quality is like a tree with no fruits." Real good qualities are the fruits that make us pleasing to the hearts of others and to God. That if a tree has no good fruits, it stands very straight and high. But if a tree has many, many fruits on it, it's bowing low to every single person that comes by, whoever they are, because of the weight of those fruits. Similarly, a person who actually has the fruits of good qualities, amanina manadena, wants to offer all respect to others and is not concerned with accepting respect for oneself. And then Lord Chaitanya said, he was thinking in his heart that I will humble him, humiliate him, to destroy all of his false pride, so that he can actually use his scholarship in a productive way to please God. So now we're going back from Navadvip to Sri Rangam. So this Digvijay Pandit comes into the town, riding on a magnificent palanquin, being carried by well-decorated men. And there are hundreds of Brahmins chanting his glories and Vedic hymns, and people playing horns and drums and elephants decorated. That's the way he would come into a town.
And he made a declaration. I challenge anyone and everyone to a debate. Nobody would come before him. Except this little 4 or 5-year-old boy, Parasara. He ran right up to his palanquin. And the person was being carried. He ran right up to the palanquin. He said, "You want debate?" He said, "Yes, I challenge. There is no question that I cannot answer. Anyone asks me any question, I will answer." The boy reached down to the ground and picked up a handful of sand, held it right up to him, and said, "This is my question. How many grains of sand are in my hand?" But he said it with such sincerity that the man was speechless. He couldn't answer the question. And little Parasara was just looking at him right in the eyes with such humility and such compassion, but such conviction. This elderly scholar got off from his palanquin and bowed at the feet of Parasarabhatra. Then the boy looked at him even more serious, and he said, "All of your knowledge, all of your rituals, everything, without devotion to the Lord Vishnu, it is all as worthless as this handful of sand." And then he threw the sand away. And that man, in front of everybody, bowed down and accepted little 4-year-old Parasara as his guru. That boy became the successor of Ramanujacharya, the next acharya of the Sri Sampradaya, as he grew older. So these Brahmins, they were asked a question by the boys, "Will you give us some food for Krishna and Balaram? They're the Lord that... the purpose of all your yajnas is to please them. They must be really pleased that they're asking you to give some direct personal service." But they didn't say it that way, but that was the reason, that was the essence. It's like the Gaur Purnima feast or Govardhan Puja feast. You have 100 devotees cooking for 3-4 days, all night, all day, to make this wonderful, wonderful feast. So much money, so much effort, so much everything. And then you forget to offer it. What is that? The whole purpose is to offer it. So they're doing all these big, big offerings, and here's Krishna coming to accept it. And they ignored. And the boys were trying to get their attention so many ways, but they ignored them. The boys were really disheartened. They just quietly went back, reported to Krishna. Krishna said something which is very, very nice for book distributors. He said, when you go out begging, of course, book distributors are, they're begging, but they're begging to give something. We're going out like beggars to give. We're not begging to take. We're begging to give. That was Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur's mood. They went out to beg door to door to give people love of God. Begging, "Please accept this love of God. Just chant Krishna's names, worship Krishna, serve Krishna, talk about Krishna. Krishna's your mother, your father. Krishna's the treasure of your life. Krishna's your life and soul. Just take Krishna." They were so compassionate. They wanted nothing in return. They only wanted to give. But they're so merciful, they're begging people to take. Srila Prabhupada gave us that opportunity
to carry on the mission of Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, to go out into the public and to beg people to accept Krishna's love in the form of Srila Prabhupada's blessing, his words, his love, which is Krishna's love. So Krishna told them, when you're going out like this, not everyone will give to you. Some people will abuse you. Some people will reject you. But that's just part of the life of one who takes of one who is begging in this way. He said, you should not be disturbed. Just carry on. And then Krishna said, these Brahmins, they are so much addicted to their false egos of being such scholars, being so expert in all of their pujas. They're expert in mantra, tantra, yantra, puja, mudra, and all of that. But they don't know the purpose behind it. It's to please me. Go to their wives. Their wives are simple. They don't know any mantra, tantra, yantra, puja, or pudra. All they know is they like to cook and they're nice housewives. But they love me. They're always remembering me. They've never even seen me. But these Brahmins' wives, when they would go shopping in the marketplace, they would just hear about Krishna. They would hear about his pastimes. They would hear about the beauty of his form. And they fell in love with Krishna. More than anything. 24 hours a day they were meditating on someone they never got to meet, just by hearing about him. Because the narration about Krishna is none different than Krishna. By hearing the pastimes of Krishna, we are actually entering into the pastime according to the faith and the absorption of our consciousness. By hearing the description of Krishna's form, we can actually behold his form. Srila Prabhupada told us we should see through our ears. Yes? Because what we see with our eyes is one thing. But by hearing about Krishna, by reading about Krishna, we can see Krishna within our heart. And according to our absorption and our faith and our service attitude, these narrations about Krishna, these descriptions about Krishna, Krishna reciprocates and manifests himself from within our heart. So yes, they would just hear about him in the marketplace. The gopis would sometimes go and buy things in the same marketplace, and all they would do is be singing songs about Krishna. And these Brahmin wives, you know, their hands were buying food for their husbands, but their hearts were just totally absorbed in hearing the gopis' descriptions of Krishna. They longed to be with Krishna. They secretly talked amongst each other about Krishna. Now, Krishna's in the heart. Krishna knows what is their motivation. And he wanted to fulfill their desire. Go to them. Tell them I'm hungry. They will give you whatever you like. The Brahmins were performing their rituals. It was some sort of a break. The wives were at home. And the gopas ran to them and said, Krishna and Balaram are very hungry. They would like you to give some food immediately. The wives just went right to their homes and started gathering everything. The best that they had, putting into pots, putting into baskets, putting it on plates. And they begged, let us bring it to Krishna personally. All right, the gopas said, come. Meanwhile, the husbands are saying, what are you doing? Where are you going? What is this nonsense? We need you. We have to perform this ritual and we need you to support us. You know what they said? Nothing. They just left. The Brahmins were outraged. What is this? They just left. Sarva dharman puritya jya mame kam sharanam vraja. aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masuja. Abandon all varieties of dharma and just surrender to me. It was very much similar to the gopis when Krishna played his flute under the Bamsiba tree on the full moon night of the autumn season, calling the gopis to the Ras dance. The husbands, the in-laws, the father-in-laws, the mother-in-laws, and everybody. No, you cannot go. Not possible. You must stay here. They didn't say anything. They just left. Krishna's calling. These Brahmins' wives had that type of devotion. They left. And their hearts were just beating with anticipation. We're going to finally see Govinda in the forest of Vrindavan. Their eagerness, lobhya. Their greed to serve Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, don't try to see God, but try to serve God in such a way that he wants to see you. And that was very much exhibited in this wonderful story. Because they were serving the Lord within their hearts so sincerely, Krishna wanted to see them. They wanted to see Krishna. But they wanted to see Krishna to serve Krishna, not to enjoy Krishna. But that's the greatest enjoyment. This is the mystery of bhakti. The more you want your own pleasure, you can't enjoy real enjoyment. The less you're concerned with your own pleasure, and you're concerned with the pleasure of God, the pleasure of God's people, the more you attain and experience the highest pleasure. Hare Krishna. It's amazing. Gopis are thinking, we just want Radharani to enjoy Krishna. We don't want anything for ourselves. But then Krishna directly goes to them and gives them so much of his personal love and association, even though they don't want it. Of course they want it, but they don't want it. This is the mystery of bhakti. They want Krishna's pleasure, whether it's direct or indirect. So they were going through the forest, following the cowherd boys, just anticipating, after all these years, to have the darshan of the Lord. And finally, they came to a clearing in the forest. Krishna was standing. He had a lotus flower in his ear, and one of his arms were on the shoulder of a cowherd boy. He was standing so beautifully, with a peacock feather on his crown, in his hair, and he had Vajayanti Mala, wild forest flowers that went below his knees, and a lower cloth, a dhoti, that was shining like lightning, golden in color. His complexion, so beautiful, enticing. The complexion of a tamal tree or a dark monsoon cloud. And his large lotus-like eyes. And his lips red like the bimba fruit, and his nose like a sesame flower. And he had ears with shark-shaped earrings. And they saw him, and he smiled upon them. And from their heart of hearts, there was just an eruption of ecstatic love. And in their heart of hearts, they were embracing Krishna. And in the heart, Krishna was embracing them. The ultimate love. Then they put their offerings down. And Krishna said almost the same verse as he welcomed the gopis when they came to Vrindavan forest. You have given up everything. You have taken up all risks just to satisfy me. Krishna gave himself to them. Krishna is the property of a devotee who gives their heart to him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about Haridas Thakur, he said, because of your sincere chanting of the holy names and your love and devotion, I am a prisoner in your heart. Now, how many people want to be prisoners? But to be a prisoner of love, that's Krishna's ultimate aspiration, is to be the prisoner of the love in the heart of his devotee. We just can't give up that love. And we cannot give up his love. And Krishna sent, he said to the Brahmins' wives, that now just always think of me, always remember me, always discuss me amongst one another, always chant my holy names, and go home and perform your duties to your husbands, with your husbands. They didn't want to go, but Krishna gave them the secret. Whatever situation we're in, if we just are excited to hear about Krishna, remember Krishna, and chant his holy names, then Krishna will always be with us. So they returned home. And the ritualistic Brahmins, they felt completely ashamed. They understood. They read the scriptures. They know that Krishna is Bhagavan. He's the Supreme Lord. But they were covered over. They said, look, if we're performing all these rituals, according to the Bhagavatam, they're saying, to hell with all our rituals. To hell with all our disciples. To hell with all our great knowledge of the scriptures. To hell with all our big lectures. To hell with it all. The whole purpose behind it is to please Krishna. We had the opportunity and we didn't do it. But our wives, they don't know any of these things. But they went right to the essence. They have become perfect. They please Krishna. They love Krishna. What is our position? Still, they could have gone and brought things to Krishna. But they didn't, even after knowing all these things. And Srila Prabhupada explains, according to Shukadeva Goswami, because they were afraid if they did, Kamsa would find out and punish them. Hare Krishna. The ladies knew about Kamsa, but they didn't care. Because they had complete faith. If we just please Krishna, Krishna will protect us. In his way. So this wonderful story explains Krishna's bhava-grahi. He accepts the love of the heart. And Narada Muni, he is trying to bring King Pracharhi Bahishat to that platform. All of this time you're spending with such elaborate rituals, but you don't understand what the purpose behind it is. It's to please Krishna, to remember Krishna, to love Krishna. And in this age of Kali, the most powerful of all sacrifices, Yajnai Sankirtana Prayaya, is this chanting of the holy names. It's so simple. So simple. These other yajnas, you have to be really, really, it has to be at the right time, it has to be with the right training, it has to be in the right state of cleanliness. But chanting the holy names, you could do anywhere at any times. Yes? You can even do it in the toilet. You can't perform a yajna in the toilet. I guess you can, but the result is going to be something different. Yes? All sorts of ritualistic baths and all sorts of mantra baths you have to do before you're performing these rituals. Deity worship is wonderful. It's one of the five principal emphasis of bhakti according to Rupa Goswami. But you have to be in a certain state of mind. You have to have a certain amount of training. You have to be very clean. Has to be very punctual. But chanting the holy name anywhere, everywhere. It's so simple. And all that's required is our sincerity. So it's the greatest of all yajnas. But we have to perform it in such a way that it's pleasing to Krishna. We have to really cultivate good character. We have to go for the essence. That's why we need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Nasta prayesya bhadrishu nityam bhagavati sevaya. To keep the essence focused. Because this material world is in every way, from within and from without and from every direction, is trying to distract us from the essence. Through economic development, through social affairs, through various complications in relationships, through health, through politics. Yes. The whole country is just immersed in the Democratic Convention or the Republican Convention. All these things have its place. But there are just so many ways. Hollywood is one of the most powerful forces in the whole planet to distract people's attention. Television. There are unlimited forces trying to just attract our attention away from the all-attractive. Have its place. But there are just so many ways. Hollywood is one of the most powerful forces in the whole planet to distract people's attention. Television. There are unlimited forces trying to just attract our attention away from the all-attractive. And sometimes we chant our rounds, reading newspapers, watching television, talking about, the latest news at New Dwarka. Not the spiritual news, the other kind of. So many distractions. Thinking about, cleaning our van. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Even as devotees. But to keep that focus. What is our goal? That is why we need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. That is why we need to read. Prabhupada said in Vrindavan one time, they asked him, what is real tapasya? And Prabhupada said, I don't know if I have the number exactly right because I heard it many years ago. I heard it on a tape. He said something like, real tapasya is to read my books for, I think he said like 4 hours a day. Hare Krishna. He said different things at different times. But tapasya is to focus our mind, to be reminded, to focus our minds on Krishna by reading, by discussing Krishna together, by coming to the classes, by coming to the kirtans, by coming for the darshan. It's all meant to focus our hearts and our motivations on Krishna. And that purifies us. Srila Prabhupada would often say, we are in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. So as Narada Muni is, in many ways, he's according to time, place, and circumstance, he's somehow or other bringing King Prachini Barhi's consciousness to the essence. And all of our temples and all of the culture of bhakti that Prabhupada has created throughout the world is for that purpose. And all the rituals that we have and all the sadhanas that we have, it's all for that purpose. To focus our hearts on the essence.
loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The devotees in Italy so much. And my love, my obeisances, my gratitude to all the devotees in Italy. But at the moment, I'm totally absorbed in serving the devotees in New Dwarka, so I cannot think beyond New Dwarka. Thank you very much.
So this evening,